Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Everybody, good morning. Happy Monday. I am so happy today to have Kate Hess with me. Kate, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you. So to start off, please introduce yourself.
Absolutely. So my name is Kate Hess. I am a mental and emotional hygiene coach, and I work with people pleasers who desperately want to quiet their critical inner voice. And I show them how they can take that self-criticism and transform it into self-love by turning the daunting into doable with simple and clear action steps.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's great. So I know that you experienced a major transformation in your life. Let's start there. Tell us about where you were at that point in time.
Absolutely. So the moment that I realized things were not working, I was curled up under my desk at work and I was crying. And I was stressed out and I was overwhelmed. And it was not a one-off event. This was something that happened to me on probably a daily basis.
Wow.
I would just feel so overwhelmed by everything that was the pressure release valve. That was how I got through the day.
Oh my goodness.
And I realized it was not sustainable. And this situation of being stressed out and overwhelmed and burnt out, it was not the first time I'd been there.
Uh-huh.
And in the past, I had always just changed jobs or maybe left a relationship or just sort of jettisoned from my life, whatever was causing the most stress and overwhelm.
Uh-huh.
And then it would happen again. And so under that desk one afternoon, I realized the job isn't really the problem. The relationship isn't really the problem. The problem is me. I'm the common factor in all of this. And so I, took a really hard look at it and said, okay, if I want things to change, I need to change how I relate to the world and how I'm engaging and interacting with things. Because simply making this change again might buy me a little more time. It'll give me a break, but I'll be right back here again.
And what made you realize that, what made you put all that together, that it wasn't just the job or a relationship or whatever? What made you say, oh, you know what, I've got things inside of me that I need to heal in order to feel more fulfilled? What made you understand that?
I think it was probably a combination of that. There's the old saying, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And having repeated this pattern over and over and over again, it was slowly ticking away in my brain. This is a pattern you keep engaging in. But also I think it was a big intuition hit. It was just, something inside of me said that this is unsustainable and you cannot keep going through life the way you've been going through it. You have to figure out what's wrong and change it.
Okay. And so what was your first step once you had that realization?
So my first step was to get back on my yoga mat. So I had an asana yoga active yoga practice in my early 20s, and I had let that go. And so by the time we got to this situation, I was in my mid 30s. So it had been over a decade since I'd been practicing yoga.
Uh-huh.
And I started going back to the studio, and I went back for one class, and then I went back for another. And it got to the point where I was going probably 4 or 5 times a week to a yoga class.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of classes where I would just go and I would move and I would lay down in Shavasana and I would cry through the entire thing.
Oh, wow.
And I just moved and processed a lot through that practice.
Yeah. So you think that the yoga enabled you to like physically release the emotion you had been storing?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's Carolyn Mace who says, you're your biography becomes your biology.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in that movement, in that, you know, moving and stretching parts of the body that I didn't usually use and move and stretch.
Right.
And aligning and releasing energetics. I was doing a heated vinyasa. I was in New England and it was cold. So a heated vinyasa was very appealing. But I also did restorative. I did yin. And my practice has expanded even more as I've continued to learn and to grow. But those poses not only gave you the time to move your body, but also to sit quietly with yourself.
And then what was your next step? So you're having these emotional releases through yoga. And for all of our listeners, if you haven't tried yoga, highly recommend you can do it for free by watching something online, or you can find a class. It's really a wonderful, wonderful thing.
It really is. Even if you just watch a video and breathe along with it, it's powerful.
Yeah.
So my next step, as I began incorporating the things that were sort of percolating up as I was on my yoga mat, I began to create and hold healthy boundaries, which as a people pleaser was a really hard thing to do.
And how did you get your mind around that? Because I think so many people are challenged with boundaries. And, you know, I think there's always the thought of like, oh, I'm being mean, or people won't like me if I say X, or, you know, there's all kinds of things going on there. So what did your mind tell you, and how did you move through that?
Yeah, so that one was a really hard one for me. I had a lot of stories around boundaries. I had a story that people only liked me for what I could do for them, and that I didn't bring value as, you know, an entity who did not take care of others. I had a belief that my critical inner voice, that piece of me that says, no, you have to say yes, no, you have to show up, no, you have to do all these things, that was actually what drove me and made me productive. That's what helped me actually accomplish everything that I accomplished.
Okay.
And I had an even deeper story, an even bigger story, which was that I am so grateful and so lucky to have grown up in a really loving and supportive family. And I know not everyone is that lucky. So I believed that it was my responsibility to sacrifice my own happiness to take care of others, that I had to earn the right to be happy. And until I had taken care of enough people, it wasn't my turn to be happy, because I had had such a happy and supportive childhood that I was paying it forward or paying it back.
Yeah. How did you recognize these particular beliefs?
So a lot of self-questions, a lot of self-examination. Some of it is things that I would read something. So I did a lot of reading. I still do a lot of reading. And so I would read a book and somebody would say, hey, like, here's a common belief. And it would just be that, you know, that visceral feeling where you just know, oh, that resonates. And so it would sometimes be just that, you know, like, I'm even getting the, you know, the little shivers now. It's just that, oh, yes, that is something that is in me. That is something that I need to register and think about and process. Sometimes it would be something that I would think, you know, I would say, okay, I am struggling with X. I'm struggling with the ability to say no. Why is it so hard for me to say no? I dive into these questions. Well, if I say no, then maybe people will be upset with me. Why would they be upset with me? They'd be upset with me because they don't want anything from me but what I can do for them. And and so I would drill down, and then I would get to the, well, is that really true?
Right.
Which usually the answer is no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a key question. Whenever anyone has a belief that comes up, no matter how you recognize it, first question I think always is it true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was your next step after starting to recognize some of these beliefs? Like, how did you start to shift your mind clock into a mindset that really worked for you?
So a big piece of starting with the boundary work was realizing that every yes is also a no. So every time I said yes to something, I was saying no to anything else I could use that time or that energy or other resource for.
Uh-huh.
And so that really helped me to start, you know, it was, I think, the first time I realized that my time was not infinite, that uh-huh. I could not spread myself so thin as to accomplish everything for everyone. Uh-huh. Putting that perspective on it, that if you're going to say yes to this, what are you going to say no to?
Oh, that's such a smart tool to use.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So that was a big piece of it. The continuing a consistent yoga practice was really powerful. Not only was it helping me to continue moving and processing through things on the mat, but it gave me tools to use off the mat. So breath work, pranayama, became a huge tool for me. I, on top of all of this, I deal with a lot of anxiety that can bubble up frequently when my mind clock starts going.
Yeah, understandable. And
so the audible exhale became a really powerful tool for me, which for anybody who's not familiar with that is simply full deep breaths in and an audible out. And you know, three or four of those, and you've triggered your nervous system to shift from that fight, flight, or freeze and into the rest and digest, which is so powerful.
Uh-huh.
And I also incorporated a mindfulness and meditation practice, which helps me to recenter and ground myself and be present in the moment, which is a safe place usually, not an overwhelming place. And also helps me to shift into, again, out of that sympathetic nervous system, the fight, flight, or freeze, and into the parasympathetic, which initially was just instinctive. But the more I've learned, I've come to understand, is really all about getting out of your reactionary mind and into your rational mind, which is so powerful.
So tell us, what are some of the elements of your mindfulness and meditation practice?
Sure. So one of my favorite tools is a mindful moment. And you can do it anytime and anywhere. And just like those audible exhales, it's a super simple tool for shifting from a state that you don't want to be in into a state that you do want to be in. And that's, I just take a moment and I notice the world around me and inside of me with all five senses. So I just kind of scroll through, what do I see? What do I smell? What do I taste? What do I hear? And what do I feel? And that just regrounds me and brings me right back to the present moment. I do a guided or a silent, you know, a self-guided meditation every morning. Just that's part of my morning practice to help me check in and set the trajectory for my day.
Do you have a particular meditation app that you like, or you're doing these just on your own?
So both. I really like Insight Timer. I think it has so many resources in there. You can find so many teachers to find the right fit for you, because I think this is an important piece, is not every teacher is going to be the right fit for you.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And so, you know, when somebody says, oh, I tried meditation once and it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not the right practice for you. Maybe it wasn't the right practice for you in the moment. Or maybe you're trying it with a teacher that just didn't resonate with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so true. I for years, people recommended that I meditate and I was kind of like, eh, no. And then once I started, I just, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So I love using that. That resource. I also really love using it and just, you know, throwing throwing on the chimes so that I can kind of keep track and time myself. Uh-huh. And then I'll also use a self-guided silent meditation.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what other practices do you find in your day-to-day life now help you silence mind cluck in a moment? So say you have a moment of stress or you have a moment of anxiety, what do you do?
Yep. So my go-to first thing is those audible exhales. That is just my absolute go-to.
Okay.
After that, if I'm feeling a little bit calmer, my next thing is to check in with my intuition. And I just do an embodied gut check, because sometimes it happens because fear is stepping in and saying, oh, this feels a little edgy and I'm trying to keep you safe by keeping you in the known. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens because I'm getting out of alignment and I'm trying to do something that really isn't something that I care about or find important or feel a strong value for. Mm-hmm. And so I do a quick intuition check and see if whatever it is that is causing this feeling of imbalance is really in my best interest or is something that is, that's a should.
And how does that work for you? Are you asking yourself questions in your mind? Do you write things down? What does it mean to you to do an intuition check?
Yeah. So it's in my mind. Mm-hmm. I take those few calming breaths. And then sometimes I close my eyes frequently at this point. I keep them open. I will do an intuition gut check I probably do it 50 to 100 times a day to make decisions left and right. So wow. I'm very, very quick at it, but I will just ask a question in my head. Uh-huh. And I always phrase it, is it in my best interest? Which I think is super important because should I?
Right.
You're bringing a lot of external baggage into that.
Yeah.
You're also opening up the door to let fear drive the decision instead of your intuition.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you find, so I'm asking this because I'm curious. So for myself, I tune into, I call it my wise self. So I tune into my wise self regularly throughout the day. And I find that anytime I ask a question with that intention, I always get an answer. Mm-hmm. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah, I would say 98% of the time I do. When I don't, I'm overtired. I'm over hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm exceedingly emotional and I haven't been able to calm myself down. So there are times when it's an embodied sensation. And so when my body has reached that place where it's too focused on taking care of a basic need, I get a very muddled response. And I use, when that happens, I actually use a pendulum and I douse.
Oh, neat. Okay. So for our listeners, if you've never asked yourself, like never tried to connect with your own intuition in a very direct way, like I think everyone has intuition that comes to them at different points in time. But if you've never intentionally said, you know what, I'm really going to pay attention to my intuition in this particular moment, I would suggest it's a matter of deciding that's what you're going to do, because you're essentially telling your brain that's what you're going to do. And then you ask your question and you listen, as opposed to ask your question and think. Is that how you approach it as well?
So I do. The only difference is I feel instead of listen. So for me, it's an embodied sensation. And I think, you know, when you think about my primary practice is yoga.
Yeah.
I am used to physically feeling the way my body responds to the world around me and to itself. And so for, everybody's intuition lives differently.
Right.
I have a very clear embodied feeling of yes and a very clear embodied feeling of no. Uh-huh. And so I just ask the question and my body just responds.
Yeah, that's great. For anyone listening, if this sounds insane, it's really not. And it's very possible. and as we're discovering, like, you know, everybody is going to approach this in a slightly different way, because the way your own mind, body, soul works is going to be unique for each of us. But give it a whirl. If you have never done this, I highly recommend, like, our intuition is amazing. And if you start to really connect with yours, you will love what you learn and the results you will get from that.
Yeah. It's an incredibly powerful tool. And the biggest benefit I've found from it is not only removing a lot of self-doubt, because I trust my intuition. I've done enough Monday morning quarterbacking to trust my intuition.
Yeah.
And you know what happens when I don't trust it. But it also saves me so much time.
That makes sense.
You know, when I said I check it so many times a day, it's because I'm typing up an email, and instead of fretting, is this, in addition to being a people pleaser, I'm a perfectionist. So instead of fretting, is this right? Do I need to reread this 5 more times? I just do an intuition check. It's ready to go. Hit send.
Wow. That's neat. That's really neat. I'm going to have to think about that the next time I'm composing something and wondering about it.
Yeah.
What's another practice that you could share with our listeners?
So one of the other things that I find incredibly helpful is movement. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy or formalized. When I'm feeling stuck or anxious or overwhelmed, when I'm feeling like I just can't focus, I just get up and move. And maybe that's just going down and walking through the garden. Or maybe that's just standing up and doing some sort of crazy dance move in the middle of my office for a few minutes. Whatever it is, that movement just kind of rebalances and recalibrates and gets your energy moving again. So that's another incredibly powerful tool.
Yeah, that is one that I use a lot. And for our listeners, like, it could be as simple as you walk into the kitchen and get a drink of water, you know, because you're shifting your environment, you're putting your body in motion. I always say mind in motion, body in motion, mind in motion. Yeah. So when you're stuck, like getting up and moving is such a useful thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. What else? Give us another one.
Let's see. We've covered mindful moment. So another really helpful tool is grounding, which we're again getting into that, you know, that realm that's a little bit less tangible, but it's also an incredibly powerful tool. And so there's a whole range of grounding techniques, but the one I love for being incredibly simple is just bringing your attention to your feet and just paying attention, like noticing what every sensation is in your foot. Can you feel your socks? Are they warm? Are they cold? Are they, you know, numb? Are they tingling? You know, what happens when you wiggle them? What is the texture under your foot? And just bringing all that attention to your feet will help ground you back into your body and into the present moment.
Yeah. And it's so true that in the present moment, if you really focus on the present moment, so much of our thoughts and our anxiety comes from either churning about something that happened or worrying about something that hasn't happened yet. But if you stop and you think like, okay, in this moment, and I mean, granted, this might not be true for everyone, but in this moment, I have a roof over my head. I have food in my fridge. I have, you know, I have people who love me. Like, you can kind of run through that checklist and then you go, oh, okay. Well, in this moment right now, I am okay. And so I can feel okay. And then whatever I'm worried about gets smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the really powerful tools that I tell all my clients is the present moment is almost always safe.
Right.
The past might be scary because you regret things. The future might be scary because there are unknown things. Mm-hmm. But sitting right here in the present moment, it's almost always safe.
Yeah.
So as much as you can be in the present moment, you can reinforce that feeling of safety and security in your life.
Yeah. I think that is a perfect place for us to start to wrap up. Because it's so true that, focusing on the present moment and really understand, like adding some gratitude in there and just taking in your surroundings, using your see, hear, smell, touch, taste, all of that, it all connects. And then it can ease whatever angst you might be feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
So for everyone who is watching the video, I've got a little ticker going, which shows Kate's website. Kate, did you want to tell us about anything? We're going to have a special link in the show notes when the show notes go up as well. Anything else you want to tell our listeners about your practice?
I do one-on-one coaching. So if you are a people pleaser and you're dealing with that critical inner voice and you'd like support, you can reach out. I also have a free mental and emotional hygiene checklist that we're going to link to on the show notes. Available. And that's a great resource for you. If what we've been talking about sounds like something you'd like to learn more about, I have a ton of tools and techniques to help you not only build a mental and emotional hygiene routine, but also figure out where you are right now in terms of your mental and emotional hygiene. Yeah. It's something I think we don't talk enough about. So
I agree. You got to know where you are so you can know what you want to shift.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining me today. And thanks for all that you've shared. This was really, really interesting. And love hearing about your practices.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. All right. Well, to our listeners, thanks for listening. And have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.